in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going Wednesday already on B&E. Get you over the hump Wednesday into the divisional playoff weekend. Check your lottery tickets, too. Somebody in Austin hit the lottery overnight, and we'll get you details on that, where the ticket was bought, and good luck to you. Lot to do. 4 hours of fun and conversation begin right now here on the Show of the People. Appreciate you being there. Wherever you find us, we give you a lot of ways to do so. 104.9 on the FM dial, maybe 101.9 FM, AM 1260. And you know, digitally, we're always streaming for you. Find us on the Horn app. Take us wherever you go, on your smart speaker, at home or work. And always, Mr. Godbolt, on this Wednesday and every day, streaming live and local at hornfm.com.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the wonderful job that you do. It is appreciated, and we do appreciate it each and every day. And it possibility of some rain today.
Ooh.
Yes.
This Wednesday. We'll take that. About a 40% chance of showers, it says here today. We'll take that. Back to bright and sunny tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
With temperatures approaching 70. Nice stretch continues. Yeah, shower chances today and Saturday, maybe even Tuesday, as we roll forward. But, yeah, somebody won the lottery last night, Buck. You did not buy a lottery ticket out on Lamar, North Lamar?
I don't think I did.
Yeah, somebody bought one at a place called Mucho's, a little convenience store called Mucho's on North Lamar. $1 million richer if you have that lottery ticket in your pocket. $1 million. And you have to explain this to me, because if it would have matched the Powerball, it would have been worth $416 million.
Yes. You know, that matching, your number 14, that you always tell us about.
Yeah, 14.
Which I will be playing from this point on, yes. if you match that one, that means you got six of the numbers, which means, you know, that's it. That's the one you get five, and then you get that magic number.
I'll take that smooth mill.
Well, nothing wrong with the mill, picking up a couple tickets.
There you go. See, good luck. There,
but it remains on. There's still over 400 million.
It can happen. It can happen.
Sure can. Now, if you won that million, but you didn't win
the 416.
The 416, would you consider that a win? You'd be done, or do you have to keep going?
Now, some people would be disappointed. I'd be very excited about the million.
Oh, I don't think. If you would be disappointed with winning $1 million, there's something wrong with you.
There'd be somebody cussing the fact that they didn't have.
Well, I think he was asking, would you be working today if you had won the $1 million?
Yes, I would be. That's not quite enough. Oh, I'd be working.
That's a pretty good, at 67 like you, that's a pretty good kick into retirement right there.
Cut that in half. But that'll keep you working still.
Yeah, a little bit. Invest that, and you're good to go.
It's traveling money, though. That's golfing money at some different places around the world.
He might be working like 3 days a week at that point. You know what I'm saying? Then taking golf weekends, enjoying it. Congratulations on that front. And I'll tell you what can happen. You can't go 18 minutes of Big 12 basketball games without a field goal and expect to win many.
No, you cannot.
Longhorns went cold last night, to say the least. Did not take their shooting touch to Ames, Iowa. The gauntlet of the Big 12. You got to shoot the ball better than the Longhorns did. We will certainly talk Big 12 basketball. Three big games last night around the conference. We got the latest on the Cowboys with Mike McCarthy as they now gear it up for the San Francisco 49ers. And it's fair to say, you know, TV is king, but you know, I know the fair is at Dallas, up there in Dallas every year in October, but, you know, fair doesn't matter. But it is not competitively balanced that the Dallas Cowboys got back home on a Tuesday morning and the San Francisco 49ers, who they were playing, been done since Saturday. I mean, the 49ers played the first game of the wild card weekend.
They've had almost 2 days of rest.
Two full days, and I'm sure they were prepping for the Cowboys. And, look, that's just in a game that's going to be, you know, very, very close and anybody's ball game. That is a competitive advantage for the San Francisco 49ers, a competitive disadvantage for the Cowboys. It's all about TV.
No, you don't need to do this to the guys on Mondays.
Well, that's right. I mean, and players complained about it. I mean, and you know, there's a lot of fans, but no one really wanted a Monday Night Football playoff game, but the TV partners did. You know, the safe to say ABC Disney with that ESPN, they had a, you know, gangbusters rating on Monday night with Tom Brady and the Cowboys. Game wasn't very good, but they still had over 30 million viewers. It was their most watched. That's the most watched game since Disney's owned ABC. That's their most watched game that they got Monday night. So that's why they do it. But look, it is. I mean, no one would argue that. Even 49er fans can't argue to have a two-day head start on, you know, preparation, rest, those type of things. The Cowboys now have to make up for that because it's already Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. They're getting ready to play again.
They got back yesterday. They did their press conferences. I'm sure they did some get off your feet, get in the ice tub kind of things. But
they're back at it hard today.
Yeah, Niners have been getting after it since Saturday, first game of the wild card weekend. So that's the challenge for the Cowboys now, getting ready for a very good San Francisco team that's won 11 straight. It is the final game of the four this weekend. We'll preview them as we move forward. Plenty of NFL news as well. Let's get to those headlines, trending topics. If you were unable to see the Longhorn game last night, you had to listen to it because of the TV situation. It was on ESPN+. Let's get you caught up on how the game went last night and the entire day in sports as you get up and out. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with the Longhorns. Yeah, busy night of Big 12 hoops. It included the 7th-ranked Longhorns on the road at 11th-ranked Iowa State. And things got off to a great start for Texas last night. They dominated the first 12-13 minutes of the game. They were up 11 with 7:28 to go first half. Tyrese Hunter got off to a hot start, had 10 points early. Then the homestanding Cyclones took over for there, and the Longhorns went cold, ice cold. Iowa State goes on a 10-0 run from that point under their under-8 timeout. They took a one-point lead into the half at 36-35. Second half, early part of it, went back and forth, and then Texas again went cold as ice. They went more than 9 minutes without a field goal. Iowa State took advantage, built a double-digit lead, and they end up winning 78-67. Horns shoot just 38% in the second half, manage just 32 second-half points. Iowa State now 5-1 in the Big 12. Longhorns fall to 4-2 for head coach Rodney Terry.
It was a physical game. You know, I thought a physical on both ends of the floor. You know, they shoot 30 free throws. You know, we shoot 22. We wanted to get to the foul line. Likewise, we knew that they were a team that really plays aggressive. And, you know, we had a stretch there where we got off to a great start in the game. But then we had a little stretch there where we turned the ball over, like 8 turnovers there. And let those guys come back, get some momentum kind of going into halftime.
Certainly did, and they took over in the second half. Now 5-1 in the Big 12, Iowa State. They are now tied with Kansas and Kansas State at 5-1 in the Big 12. That's because the upstart Wildcats took down second-ranked Kansas last night in the thriller overtime 83-82 win at the Octagon of Doom there in Manhattan. Keontae Johnson led K-State with 24. He also had an alley-oop dunk off a great lob from Marquise Noel in the closing 20 seconds for the game winner. They overcame a 38-point night from Jaylen Warren of the Jayhawks to snap Kansas' 10-game win streak. So 5-1 for all three teams. Also last night, Baylor went into Lubbock, took down Texas Tech 81-74. They pull back to 500 in the Big 12 at 3-3. Red Raiders fall to 0-6. Outside the Big 12 last night, top-ranked Houston, the Cougars, rolled past Tulane 80-60. Ninth-ranked Tennessee bounced back from that Saturday loss to Kentucky. They beat Mississippi State last night for Rick Barnes 70-59. NBA Spurs beat the Kevin Durant-less Brooklyn Nets 106-98. Brooklyn now 0-3 since KD went down with that knee injury. NFL news, Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy said yesterday the team will forge on and stick with their struggling place kicker Brett Maher, despite his 4 missed extra points in their win over the Buccaneers Monday night. L.A. Chargers announced yesterday they fired their offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi and their quarterbacks coach. This comes after the team collapsed and lost that game in Jacksonville in the wild card game Saturday night. Also, according to reports, Tennessee Titans are going to hire 49ers director of player personnel Rand Carthon to be their new general manager. Stunning upset overnight in tennis at the Australian Open. The 65th-ranked American Mackenzie McDonald took down the defending champion and 22-time major champ Rafa Nadal in straight sets and second-round action. Nadal clearly dealing with a hip injury of some sort. He labored through the straight set loss, but a stunner there. He was looking for number 23. Won't happen. He's out in round two.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
So there you go. Busy night. We'll upset over in tennis. And, you know, we talk about TV and how it's a competitive disadvantage for the Cowboys. You can also thank that Monday night game for why the Longhorns ended up on ESPN Plus and the Plus package last night, because typically in a normal Big 12 week, that Kansas State Texas Tech Baylor doubleheader would have been a big Monday, right? They would have played that on Monday, and then the Texas Longhorns and a top 12 matchup with Iowa State would have been kind of a standalone game at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. But obviously, because of Monday Night Football, the wild card game, they pushed this thing back. So you had three Big 12 games, only two places to put them. So the 6 o'clock and the 8 o'clock game end up on the Big Ship, and the Longhorns end up on ESPN+. It was a kind of an ugly game. And
Iowa State had 1 point off their bench and still won that basketball. Yeah. 1 point.
1 point. They
how
don't
do
have.
Get, how do you get 1 point off the bench? I mean,
well, the other your opposing team goes 18 total. There's only 40 minutes in a basketball game. The Longhorns, if you combine two stretches, one in about seven plus minutes, and then about 9 minutes in the second half without field goals,
almost half of a basketball game.
I mean, that's 18 minutes of a 40-minute game. You're not getting any baskets. And you heard Rodney Terry just say it. It was about a lot about turnovers in the first half. Once they built that 11-point lead, and then
they just started giving them the ball. Here, take this.
And they just went ice cold in the second half and couldn't make shots. It was a discouraging game. There was also a moment, ugly moment, late in the first half when the kid for Iowa State undercut Dylan Mitchell, the Longhorn freshman. It was a dirty play. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Dylan was just going up for a rebound, and he cut his legs out. He went down hard, could have been injured, and really didn't play much in the second half, and you hope Dylan's not hurt. They didn't even call a foul. I mean, much less flagrant, much less go look at it. The Big 12 officials didn't even call a foul on that. And I'm sure the Longhorn bench wasn't real happy because it happened right in front of them. And let's hope Dylan Mitchell's going to be okay. But in the end, Iowa State was more physical. Iowa State, this is a problem for Texas. They got that big, 6'11 kid, Osuni, down low.
Oh, no, controls the paint.
St. Bonaventure transfer. And the Longhorns just don't have a big. I mean, if there's a flaw on this roster, it's the lack of a true five.
Yeah,
they do not have one.
Timmy Allen has to be way up there in the teens. He had 9 points. That's not going to work for them.
Yeah, they put the big man in the middle and then spread the floor with shooters. Yep. And Gabe Kauscher's a really good player. We know that. But you're right. I mean, the Longhorns, if you tell me they're going to go on the road and score 67 points, I don't think they're going to win that game.
No.
You're not going to win with
Christian Bishop, 12, is your leader.
Yeah, your leading scorer was 12 points and only 32 in the second half. And heck, you had
Hunter still struggling. 10 points, 33 minutes.
Well, he was the key early. It was looking like this was going to be 33 minutes. It was looking like that's what we're talking about, him getting the spark,
getting
going back
home,
and he looked like it. He had, when the Longhorns had an 11-point lead early, he had 10 of them. He had 10 of their points, and he was playing really good.
Then that was it.
Then that was it for him, and I think he was a part of some of those turnovers there at the end of the first half. He got loose. He ended up with two turnovers. Marcus Carr had four.
Yeah, but you thought early that he was going to have a really, really good game. He was going to get back, back into, getting close to 20 points in that game. That was an early 10, Ian, and he just...
He ended with 10 because he started, hit his first three shots and didn't hit another. He went 0 for the next seven shots he took and didn't make a three and made two of his... Because he made two threes and a deuce. Got an and-one almost, but he missed the free throw, so he was 10 points.
Anybody that has a big man in the middle of this team will struggle against.
Yep.
They're not big enough.
Yeah, and a true big, and Osunini is. He's a kid that transferred in from St. Bonaventure, and he's a big part. The transfer portal in college basketball is unbelievable. If you were watching the Kansas-Kansas State game last night, Fran Fraschilla was doing a good job. When Jerome Tang took that job at Kansas State, when he got there, he had two scholarship players on his roster when he got there, and through the transfer portal he added the entire roster. And Iowa State, the good chunk of their team is all through the portal. They have the freshman point guard Kauscher was there, but they go and get the big man from St. Bonaventure. They brought in Caleb Grill. Grill's the one who undercut Dylan Mitchell last night in that dirty play. He came in from North Dakota, and they really just build a roster through the portal, and that's going to be what it's about, chemistry and getting these guys to play together. But the Longhorns have a flaw, and it's down low because Dylan Dessou and Christian Bishop, they're just not. They're more small forwards than they are even power forwards, I think, and they're being asked.
They're
to
not
play
rim
the five.
Protectors. They're just they're like garbage guys. Get down there, get those loose rebounds, hit the floor, do the things you have to do. But they can't defend the rim, like these other dudes do.
Yeah, well, that's right. And Dylan Dessou at home seems to play better, but he only played 13 minutes last night. That's not going to be enough. He got himself into some foul trouble and had to sit, unfortunately. And that really hurt because then you only had Christian Bishop down low. But every team has some flaws, and you have to overcome those. You just can't shoot, and you can't go 18 minutes without making a field goal in a 40-minute basketball game. You're just not going to win
many. That was the old horns there.
It was. I said all year I thought this wasn't a team that was going to go into these long scoring droughts, and they did last night. Now, they scored some points in those stretches because they got to the foul line, but still, 9 minutes without making a basket, a field goal, that's a problem.
Yeah, and when you're banging around like they bang around and not getting to the free throw line, that's not good.
Yeah, you could tell the Longhorns were a bit frustrated with the officiating last night. You know, you go on the road, you're going to deal a raucous crowd, and the officiating was
pretty
one-sided last night, it felt like. And every close call went the Cyclones' way, and I guess that's with life on the road in the Big 12.
Sure.
And the no call on the Dylan Mitchell play I thought was pretty ridiculous. But that's where the Longhorns are. You survive and move on. You get ready for West Virginia because we said going into the week, two tough road games. If you can split them and be 5-2 in the Big 12 through your first seven, you're feeling pretty good coming back home for your third game of that stretch, and then some other tough road games coming. But you know what this conference is. It's going to be a meat grinder. And I did watch most of that Kansas State game. What a game that was.
Yeah, it was.
What a tremendous game. And Kansas is really a good team. They had three significant guys, including the kid from Westlake, foul out of that game into overtime, so they were really running short. And boy, the critical moment of that game, did you see this? The kid Jaylen Warren, who had 38 points, he steps in right there nearing about a minute to go in overtime and nails a straight-ahead three from about 30 feet. I mean, it was pure as it could be. It looked like Steph Curry. But right as he was shooting it and about to step into it, Bill Self called a timeout and was calling a timeout from the bench. The shot swish, it was going to be a huge shot. It would have put him up four.
Of course, they gave him the timeout.
Would have put him up four and probably would have won the game for him. And it would have given Jaylen Warren 41 points for the night. And a big smile on Jaylen Warren's face, looking at Bill Self going, really? Really? You called the timeout? I drained it. And they came out of the timeout, didn't score, and that's when K-State went back down, hit the alley-oop dunk, and won the basketball game 83-82, and they improved to 5-1. So they're 5-1. Kansas is 5-1. Iowa State, 5-1 in the Big 12. And I think with your Texas Buck, if you lose a game like you did Iowa State on the road, you got to beat them when they come back here. I mean, you got to win. You got to get them when they come home. That's got to be your goal. You're going to lose some road games in the Big 12. You just are. Can't lose the home games. And the Longhorns have already lost one of those home games. That was to K-State. So they need to go get that if they can.
But. Yeah, and you know, last night, just when you thought Texas Tech couldn't get any worse, they did. Nothing's running through Lubbock. Baylor's now won, three in a row now? They're back to playing pretty good basketball.
Yeah, Baylor will be there. Scott Drew's too good of a coach. They're too talented a team. And, I mean, that was a critical game for Texas Tech. 0-6, they are now. And Baylor's now back to 3-3. They got off to a 0-3 start and have gotten back to .500. So Baylor, you know they'll be there in the end. For sure. This says every time Texas loses, it's about the refs. No, it was about going 20 minutes without scoring a basket is why they lost last night. But the officiating, if you watch the game, was pretty one-sided.
And you don't expect to get that when you're on the road.
Yeah, that's life in the Big 12. That's life in the Big 12, without a doubt. But gosh, if you undercut a player like that, I mean, that was a hard fall for Dylan Mitchell. That was not a hard call to make, and there was an official right under the basket staring at it. Kid goes up, and guy took his legs out. I mean, and he came down, you know, ass over apple carts, right on his, you know, elbow and shoulder. It's like, really? Not even a call on that? Looked like
I was worried about him slamming his head on the...
Yeah.
You always worry about that.
And anybody watching that would say, that's dirty play. I mean, if you were down at the YMCA and that happened, you'd get in a fight in that moment. I mean, that was not okay. And heat of battle kind of thing, but you at least got to call the foul and protect the player. Did not do that, but no, officiating didn't help Texas. Wasn't the reason they lost the basketball game. Their own cold shooting and bad offense was really the biggest part of that last night. You know, Marcus Carr had an off night.
Yeah, Marcus did. What did he end up with, just 11 points, 10 points?
Who's that? Marcus?
Marcus Carr, he didn't
have 10. 10-11, hit 1-3, played 36 minutes. They did a nice job. Iowa State's a good team, and Osberger's a good coach. I mean, this is the Big 12, and they're, you know, they played Kansas into a 2-point game just on Saturday at Lawrence, and you know, they through the first six games, those three teams, Kansas, Kansas State, and Iowa State, have shown they're going to be the class of the conference. Longhorns want to be in that conversation, and there's still
Wilson kid from Kansas, that was a kid who started to come on last year, right? He was just a true freshman last year. Was he a true freshman last year?
Let me check on that. Yeah, Jaylen Wilson's a really good player. Got his game last night. You know, if Self doesn't call that timeout, that's one for the ages on the road against your in-state rival. He puts a 41-point game
on the
board.
He's just taking the spot of the stud that they had last year. He's now picking up the pace.
Well, that's a Bill Self program right there. Just
man.
Gonna, you know, young guys are going to develop and emerge and become the go-to guys. That's what K.J. Adams, the kid from Westlake, is doing. this year. And that was big when he fouled out. He was having a nice game last night.
Was at the critical point just before the
overtime.
Yes.
Yeah. Jalen Wilson's from Denton. He is a junior.
Okay.
6'8". What a smooth game he's got, man. That's a Kansas all-star
I know
right
one
there.
Thing. When he lowers his shoulder and he heads towards the basket, look out. He's 225, almost 230 going through that lane at 6'8".
I tell you, man, the area of Denton, Texas, I only notice it because my daughter is going to North Texas, so we're up there quite a bit. They are producing some dudes in all sports. What is going on in Denton? Every time you look up, there's a kid from Denton, Guyer, Denton, football, basketball. They're producing some athletes in that area north of Fort Worth and Dallas. But that was a nice, fun game there. But credit to K-State for picking up the win. They built that team through the transfer portal, essentially, and here they are, 5-1 atop the Big 12. They've already far eclipsed their win total for last year for that program. They only had 14 wins last year. They're at to 16 or 17 now for Jerome Tang in year number one.
Yeah, I think eventually the Texas Longhorns are going to have to find a big guy. They're going to go transfer portal or something recruiting. They're going to have to find that 6'10", 6'11 guy to just...
Well, in the end, that might be, you know, that's...
They don't have enough inside.
When we say it's a roster flaw, it might have been Chris Beard's flaw, right? Chris Beard wants to build his positionless basketball team, and it's what he had at Texas Tech when he went to the national championship game, so we know it can work. If you go back and see that Red Raider team that nearly won a natty, they didn't have a true big. They didn't, you know, he likes to have those versatile 6'7", 6'8", 6'9 guys that can play a lot of different positions. And
yeah, but on a consistent basis, there got to be somebody near that rim.
Yeah, especially when you run into a big team. Like, and you look around the country and see a team like Purdue. Texas would not match up with Purdue right now.
No.
I mean, that would be a problem.
Not many are right now.
Well, and you give Iowa State credit. They went to St. Bonaventure and got the big man who was really good last night. Rim protector. He's listed as 6'10", but I mean, he's a lot taller than Dylan Dessou, who's listed as 6'9". He's just a bigger body, true five. They spread the floor with the shooters, and he does his work down low. And the Longhorns struggle with that size. There's no doubt about that. That's why it was nice to beat Texas Tech, because Texas Tech has a couple of twin towers down low. These 6'11 kids, Longhorns, were able to win that game here in Austin on Saturday, not able to get the win at Iowa State last night. So that was the Big 12. We'll take your thoughts on it. This is an interesting Texas. You hurt my teammate like that, we are fighting. Yeah, most of the Longhorns, I don't know if they saw it, because they were turning and going up the floor because it looked like he was going to jump up, get the rebound, and come down. In the end, he gets
all
undercut.
All they saw is him on his back.
Yeah, he's just going up to grab the board. I mean, that was the other part of it. It wasn't like it was a whole group of people down low. It was just him going up to grab a board, gets undercut hard. And, yeah, you're right, probably should have been more retaliation on that. Don't want an ugly scene, but at the same time, if the refs aren't going to call it, might want to take that into your own hands. As I say, if that was at the YMCA, you'd be fighting. Somebody would have been shoving somebody at that point. But Longhorns fall. K-State takes down Kansas. Baylor beats Tech last night in Big 12 basketball. Craig Way will have more on the game coming up in his Craig Way Report this hour. We'll get some B&E facts of the day. We'll also get back into the NFL. Cowboys, Mike McCarthy going to forge ahead, he said, with Brett Maher. We're going to forge ahead. Said it kind of non-convicted, like, well, what else are we going to do? We're going to bring in a new kicker? Or are we just going to go with our guy?
I'd be looking somehow. Got a couple days.
Got a couple days. Yes, sir. We'll talk Cowboys. A lot of excitement. Cowboys pick up the big win. Now they have an opportunity in the divisional round at San Francisco on Sunday afternoon. We'll start to preview those games in earnest, the four games of divisional playoff weekend. The news and notes and nuggets coming out of the NFL, including coaching firings and hirings. We'll get into all that coming up. And, it's already started. It's only mid-January, but Aaron Rodgers, the soap opera begins, pondering and considering a...
It's time.
We've already got our first good money quote from A-Rod. Aaron Rodgers on his future. We'll play the Days of Our Quarterback Lives coming up as well. Busy Wednesday, just underway as we roll on. It's B&E on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming always on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always, you know, at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Already Wednesday on B&E. Get you up over the hump. Divisional playoffs in the NFL on tap. You're a baseball fan and an Astros fan, and you'd like to take a picture with the World Series trophy. Of course, the Astros did win the World Series last year. Last fall, Astros Caravan is going to make three stops here in the capital city today. Where are they going to be here? See if we can find this. Announced that they're going to make three stops They're going to go to the Capitol. Oh, man, they got to take the picture with the politicos. You know what I'm saying? Got to get down there to the Capitol.
It's Inauguration Day, right?
I believe it is, yes. They got the stage set up and ready to roll.
Yeah, they got a lot, you know, a lot of senators. Everybody was taking the oath of office about a week ago for different districts and stuff. So now this
session beginning.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't screw it up. No, just kidding. Good luck. Good luck with the session. But, yeah, if you're an Astros fan, it's one of those you know, great picks that you have to have with the World Series trophy because what a run they made. Win their second all-time series, and the trophy will be in town today. They'll be down at the Capitol. I'll see if I can find where they're going to be stopping for photo ops. They typically tell you, but I'm looking here and don't see.
Are you going?
No. I'll be good. But, well, I don't know. Let me see where the caravan is going
to
be.
Depends on where it is.
A big fan.
I'm a big fan, but, you know, that's just not – either way. Like when they have the big parade.
Well, they used to do a lot of stuff.
Like a million people show up, that's not for me.
Academy. They'll do their spring deal in Academy before they go off, won't they?
Yeah. Three stops. It says right here, three stops at the Capitol. We're doing three. Oh, that's the only place they're going to be.
Three sides of the Capitol?
I don't know. They're going to be at the House, the Senate, the Governor's reception room. But I guess they're not going to be able to let the fans come hang out. But I'm soon sure they'll do that at some point. On their tour. But yeah, Astros celebrating a world championship, that's always fun. And speaking of parades, I mean, these tragedies, Buck, you know, we did it with DeMar Hamlin for a while, and now the young people at Georgia who were killed, and, you know, the offensive lineman and the young lady who's a recruiting staffer. And turned out they had just been at the parade celebrating the championship. That's what was going on in Athens on Saturday.
Well, that parade, did it end at 2:45 a.m.?
No, I mean, that's where they had been. It was the afternoon into the evening parade, and obviously the authorities have already said speed was the primary factor, which you were fearful of. And
one guy didn't have on his – a couple people didn't have seat belts on.
I mean, it's just – everything's great. You're celebrating a championship, and the next thing you know, two young people are gone. And thoughts and prayers to the Georgia family because that's tragic. Young offensive lineman and a young recruiting staffer – killed in that situation. But hug your kids. Wear your seatbelt. Slow down.
Wear your seatbelt, yes.
Slow down. All right, Buck, we feeling good. Here it is out of Vegas now. After what we saw over the week on Wild Card Weekend, the San Francisco 49ers have leapfrogged the Eagles, according to BetMGM, as the favorites to win the NFC and make it to the Super Bowl. Chiefs still the favorites in the AFC. 49ers, though, with their performance, Brock Purdy looking unfazed in his first playoff start, they roll their division rival Seahawks, and they are now, according to BetMGM, the top overall contender odds-wise.
I would agree.
Even more than Philadelphia.
I would agree. And, Ty, you brought me absolutely nothing yet. There's nothing you can bring me on a Wednesday.
The Cowboys aren't hitting up that list?
No.
Cowboys aren't there yet.
Man.
Cowboys aren't there yet. They're going to have to beat someone more significant than the Buccaneers at this point. Obviously, they go in and beat the 49ers.
Oh, they jump to the forefront then, for sure.
And if Dak plays like Dak did with, you know, four touchdown passes and a rush, and I just know, as we said a lot yesterday, they'll see a better 49ers team. The Bucs were pretty lame on Monday night, but the Cowboys made them look lame in a lot of ways and took advantage of it. And outside of their kicker, were pretty much perfect in all their phases on that game, and that's something you can build on.
And I don't know why I'm thinking of the Giants beating Philly in Philly again.
They've lost nine straight.
I know it's really weird. I mean, last night it was sounding like as if the Giants, you know, the way the media was talking, as if the Giants had beaten Philly. They got beat by them twice this year, right? They haven't won a game against Philadelphia in forever.
And we know that the game that they won in Week 18, that Jalen Hurts came in and played, they had to win it to secure the number one seed in the bye.
That first game, they just crushed them.
They did. And we know that in that final matchup, the Giants rested all their starters, right? Daniel Jones didn't play. That eight key guys, Saquon Barkley, wasn't playing in that game. But, yes, the real matchup that came in December at Philadelphia was just a blowout. It was just a one-sided destruction. And that's when, you know, Philadelphia and the Cowboys can both say, you know, when we're clicking, when we're playing our football, we can beat anybody. And that's what the Eagles are. They can score a ton of points, and their defense is really good. And that's where we've said all year, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the 49ers appear to be the best teams, and here we are. I think the Eagles are favorites heavily over the Giants, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I don't think Purdy is going to have the ball. Have to do an awful lot again. I think San Fran will run the ball against Dallas.
Well, that's going to be the question.
I like 55 in the middle, but against that offensive line.
They got Hankins back now. You know, he's their big run stopper up front.
Tell me 27. Tell me he's healthy and ready to go.
Have you heard anything on Curse?
Yeah, because he's like another linebacker.
I heard they were more optimistic about him than they were Jason Peters. I'm hearing Jason Peters could be out a few weeks.
Oh, man, the tackle who's providing depth for them on that offensive line. Look, I mean, it's an uphill battle. And as I say, I mean, there's no other way to skin it. The fact that the Niners have been done since Saturday.
Yeah, this is a
two-day head start on the Cowboys. That is a competitive advantage that the NFL shouldn't allow. I mean, really.
They're already playing 17 games in the regular season.
Yeah, they're to 18 now. And I would be saying this, and we said it last year, about any team. It's just, it is not competitively even close for one team to be done with a game on Saturday night at home, sitting waiting, and then the Cowboys get back home at early morning hours Tuesday, and they're on a short week to have to go on the road to San Francisco to play a very good San Francisco team.
You've got to rest, and then you've got to get right back to practice.
Yeah. I mean, that can be a significant difference when it comes to being fresher, game planning, being a guy getting an extra day or two of rest who may be dinged up a little bit. Cowboys don't get that benefit. It's one of those things, cry me a river. The fair is in Dallas every October, but it is not competitively even, and the NFL doesn't care. I mean, they wanted a Monday night primetime NFL playoff game. And when they suggested it, this was mentioned by a lot of people. Like, wait a second, you're going to put a playoff team on a short week, maybe going on the road to play a team that played Saturday? And here's what we're dealing with right here with the 49ers. And one of the reasons I think Vegas likes the 49ers right now, because in a game that can be very close, could come down to a Brett Maher kick, could come down to the fresher team in the fourth quarter. Right now, the 49ers have that advantage right
now. Yeah, and if they have to put Purdy on the move, they will. They will. They just can't sit him in the pocket. I think Dallas will get a little bit of pressure, but they're not gonna have that kid sitting in the pocket throwing like Tom Brady was. Tom Brady can't get on the move. This guy can get on the move.
Well, I mean, the 49ers put up over 500 yards of offense against Seattle on Saturday. I mean, that was really impressive. They were down at the half 17-16, and their explosivity, I mean, their ability to explode on you with once they kind of get a groove going is pretty dang impressive. And they can beat you in so many phases. They just dominated that second half 25-6. And as far as Brock Purdy, he can, he'll stand in the pocket and they'll move him.
Yeah.
He's mobile enough. He has been unfazed through six starts. I mean, and that's going to be the challenge for Dan Quinn and the Cowboys defense, is to somehow phase this young quarterback who, to this point, has been just rock solid.
And like Dak likes his tight end, this guy really likes Kittle.
Kittle and Debo being back is big for them. Christian McCaffrey is obviously one of the most dynamic playmakers in the game. And they added him. And we talk about this 11-game win streak, and Ty has talked about how, they hadn't beaten anybody in that stretch. They are 5-1 against playoff teams. But that stretch includes the acquisition of Christian McCaffrey. And it's impossible to talk about the 49ers without the magnitude of that trade. I mean, to take a really good team anyhow, and the 49ers were that, and add one of the top two or three playmakers in the game who's played to an elite level. I mean, he was the NFC's player of the month in December. He has had an immediate impact on this team and this offense. It's almost like Kyle Shanahan was, man, to get a hold of him. If I can get a running back like McCaffrey, who he's known since, of course, Kyle Shanahan's father coached Christian McCaffrey's father to the Super Bowls in Denver, Ed McCaffrey. Long-time familiarity between the families and the two, the coach and the player. It's almost like Kyle Shanahan said, man, if I could ever get a hold of that guy, here's what I would do. I would do this, and I would do this with him. And so as soon as he got there, they've already implemented all of these ways that they get Christian McCaffrey involved on the ground, in the air, sweeps, screens. He is you got to know where he is on all plays, and that's kind of the issue that they present to you, Buck. You have to account for McCaffrey on every play, where he's lined up and where he is. Same with Debo, same with George Kittle. They just put a lot of pressure on you offensively, and then you have a pretty nice guru in Shanahan calling those plays.
Yeah, if Kittle was just a guy who was just a pass catcher, like the Cowboys have in Dalton Schultz, this guy can run. I mean, he's like a big running back when he gets the ball.
And he is. Debo, sometimes if you go back to that Seahawks game, he'd catch these crossing routes, and he's out there. He looks like Adrian Peterson in the middle of the field. It's like, wait, now you got to tackle. you defensive backs have to tackle this 230-pound monster who's going to run through arm tackles.
And he and Kittle are just like big running backs.
They're great, man. Great in space. Since he's taken over his six games as a starter, here's Brock Purdy, Buck. He is 13, if you include the playoff game, he's 16 touchdowns, four interceptions. Had four interceptions in his starts in the regular season. That's what the Cowboys have to be able to hope to do, because you got to steal some possessions from this team. You have to, because the 49ers are the top scoring team in the league, and they're the best defense in the league.
By the way, Dak owes us a pick, doesn't he? Tied for this game. I mean, he got through that whole game. So does he owe us two, or does he owe us just the one?
I don't know. He might be a new man in the playoffs.
What?
I'm telling you,
I'm
going to
say he owes us at least
one.
He owes us at least one pick. He's not going two games without a pick, so he owes us one.
Well, he played a turnoverless game, and the Buccaneers really
still
didn't force
it.
Almost throw one against the Buccaneers.
That was just a great game plan. I thought Kellen Moore, that was a great game by Dak, too. That's just his arm strength look. I mean, he looked totally different. I don't know if the other guys were standing in mud, but
yeah, well, that's what we talked
about. He did
some
really nice things.
What I just said about Shanahan is what the Cowboys have to do offensively to the 49ers defense.
Yeah. The game plan has to be
make them
just
account
like that.
For Tony Pollard on every play, where he is and where he's lined up. Make them account for CeeDee Lamb and make them deal with Dalton Schultz. And Cowboys did that against the Buccaneers to a high level. This says, E, you want some French fries with your Whataburger? Don't talk about competitive disadvantage and finish higher in the seating. Look, the Cowboys went 12-5. Cowboys were in the toughest division the league has seen in the last 20 years. Three teams are still playing in the divisional round. And the fact that they didn't win their division, that's because the Eagles were in their same division. That's tough to overcome. Same time, have a Monday night game. Every team knows if you play a Monday night game, the short week that comes after, especially if you're on the road on a Monday night, that's a challenge, even during the regular season, to play road Monday night and get ready for a Sunday game the next week. Cowboys are doing that. A lot of folks weren't a fan of adding a primetime Monday night game to the playoffs. That's why there's a reason it just came online last year.
I don't run the NFL. I wasn't a fan of having that many games, period, regular season. I'm not a big fan of that.
Season.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the exact reason why people were critical of the idea, but the NFL doesn't. I mean, and even Mike McCarthy said it yesterday, TV is king. I mean, the revenues, ESPN, ABC, paid through the wazoo.
Yeah, I know you're going to get paid for it, but that's a lot on those guys' bodies right there now. And now you throw one on a Monday and expect them to be at full strength and ready to go.
Yeah, against a team that was done Saturday night and been sitting at home, you know, watching the playoffs and getting a couple days of recuperation ahead of the Cowboys, for sure. That'll be a part of this game. We're looking forward to it. Looking forward to the whole weekend. Kansas City, Jacksonville, Buffalo, Cincinnati in the AFC, Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Niners in the NFC.
I want to do it, but I can't do it. I can't go money line with the Giants. I know that there's a lot to be made there, Ty, but it's just they got
seven
closer.
And a half, though?
I know.
Well, I mean,
but I just got to know where Jalen Hurts. The last time I saw him throwing, his arm wasn't quite ready. But now that he's had a game under his belt and he's been out there,
I said this yesterday. Of the teams remaining, of the eight teams, the Eagles to me are the biggest enigma. As far as I'm not sure, because we're not sure how healthy Jalen Hurts is.
Will he be running? Will he do his regular things?
If he looks like the Jalen Hurts of midseason into December, you're like, okay, yeah, they're going to name the score on the Giants. But what if he's not 100%? What if he's a little rusty? What if he still doesn't have that arm strength back from the shoulder injury? All those are question marks.
Yeah, because the Giants have gotten better offensively.
They have. I mean, they played a really, really solid game. You know, when they met in New York on December the 11th, the Eagles beat the Giants 48-22. And it really wasn't that close.
No, it wasn't that close, no.
And in that game, Jalen Hurts was magnificent. I mean, he was just unbelievable. He ran for 217 and two touchdowns.
Wow.
He ran for 77 more and a touchdown. He was just picking apart the Giants, and that was in New Jersey. By the fourth quarter, the home crowd is going home. I mean, it was a blowout of epic proportions, and that's what the Eagles can do. They improved to 12-1 with that win, and we know from that point you had the Jalen Hurts injury. They were resting some guys, and then what? So this is what, and then they have the week off. We never know how these teams who had the week off are going to come back. Sometimes they lose that intensity a little bit. Maybe they ratchet down a little bit. Can you crank it back up? Because you know the Cowboys and the Giants are becoming in there, have already tasted the playoff intensity, these teams that had the week off of not. So those are the games, four of them. Bucky wants to talk himself into the Giants' money line against the Eagles. We'll take your thoughts on that. The AFC games are compelling as well. What about the Bengals and their banged-up offensive line? We'll dive in headfirst to these four playoff games that will determine Championship Sunday and then obviously eventually the Super Bowl.
Hard for me to take the money line when I keep seeing this 48-22 win over the Giants that first game.
Yeah, in that game, Miles Sanders, 144 yards and two touchdowns. And they just – I watched a lot of that game. It was just impressive. It was like watching a really good college team against a lower
Georgia
level.
Play TCU.
Yeah, it was. It was really one-sided. And
that was how the Cowboys treated Tampa Bay last week.
But again, the Eagles, for whatever reason, whether it's injuries or not, haven't looked like that since that game.
No.
You know, they have not, and that's what Giant fans will point out, that, hey, maybe
they... But in my mind, I still see number 11 streaking across the middle on a ball caught and then just going down the sideline.
Oh, Devontae Smith, yeah.
No, that's six.
Six. That was on a fourth down play.
Oh.
I remember that play. But really, again, it's now January the 18th. The Eagles have not looked like that since they improved to 12-1 and won that game. They kind of scuffled with the Bears a little bit. Then Jalen Hurts got hurt. They lost to the Cowboys on Christmas Eve. They lost to the Saints. They beat the Giants in the game where the Giants rested all their starters, and then they had the week off. So what are you going to get from the Eagles?
I just
what
know
does the
Cowboys
Eagles team look like?
Cowboys looked impressive. I mean, when you talk about impressive-looking teams.
They did.
You know, it is playoff time where it really, really matters. Yeah, that was impressive against Tampa Bay.
Three most impressive teams of Wild Card Weekend were the Niners, Cowboys, and Giants, without a doubt. And, again, I said yesterday, Buccaneers were the least impressive team I saw on the weekend, too, and the Cowboys took advantage of that. We'll be back. We'll pick up those conversations. NFL is hitting its apex here. We've also got the Longhorn basketball team last night falling at Ames, Iowa. With more on that, here's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Wednesday. As Buck mentioned, a little chance of some showers this afternoon. About a 40% chance of some wet stuff. We'll take it. It's like a beautiful day tomorrow. End of the weekend.
How about yesterday? How gorgeous was yesterday?
You were out playing a little golf at the
the
Barton Creek.
It was very nice.
How is the Crenshaw course these days with the largest greens in America?
Still, you can still get a nice lot there if you need to. If you want to build a house on one of those greens, you can.
Yeah, you people that don't know golf, Ben Crenshaw is maybe the greatest putter of all time, or at least in the top five, and he likes to build courses with big greens.
And I'm only second to him.
You're second to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Big greens.
I know one of his daughters pretty well.
Mrs. What's her? Is she a Crenshaw?
Anna Riley Crenshaw.
There you go. Can she putt? Because if you play on the Crenshaw course of Barton Creek,
good
you better.
Lord. I bet you can.
For me, it's a three-putt waiting to happen. I mean, it just is.
It certainly is.
Because the green is so large. I mean, it's like larger than the square footage of my house. It's
and you better
so big.
Bounce them on there before. It's hard to hit them on there and keep them on there.
They're so down, but beautiful. And, yeah, yesterday's weather was tremendous. Tomorrow's going to be great. Maybe some rain today. Heck, tomorrow, we're excited. We're going to be out, you know, our course of the month for our Callahan's General Store Tour of Texas Golf is going to be Slick Rock out at the Horseshoe Bay Resort. Excited to get out there, part of that Texas Triangle. We're going to be out there tomorrow afternoon with Omar Uresti and Charlie from Callahan's and our Horn Crew video and getting to know more about Slick Rock and what's going on at Horseshoe Bay this summer and this winter and into the spring and into the summer.
Horseshoe Bay is always wonderful. I mean, it's a staycation for sure. You go out there to stay at the new hotel out there and you just want to enjoy the hill country. It is. And plus, it always reminds me like of a – it's weird, you know, coming from Pennsylvania, like when I go down to the Jersey Shore because of the lake right there when you go downtown.
Yep.
It reminds you of a beach town.
Well, they have their own beach out there at Horseshoe Bay Resort on Lake LBJ there. It's a beautiful spot.
Well, so. I love the yacht club there, Ty. Ooh. I go to take my wife to the yacht club.
Now, remember, to get golf privileges, you have to be staying at the resort.
Yes.
You can't just roll up out there and get tee times like you do, America's Guest.
There you go.
Hey, today, as we get back into some sports coming up, previewing the divisional playoffs, Longhorns struggle last night, finding buckets. We'll talk Texas hoops coming up. Today is National Thesaurus Day, Buck. And today is the day, January 18th, because of a guy named Peter Roche, who published the first thesaurus in 1852.
Love it.
And it says here on National Thesaurus Day, Ty, if you want to sound more intelligent than maybe you are, it's a good idea. So instead of saying the word happy, go with the word delighted. Yeah, delighted.
Nah.
That sounds pretentious.
I'm
going to
say nah.
Instead of the
one.
Word worried, go with agitated. Agitated. Bigger word. Instead of begin, say commence. Let the show commence.
No, I'm not going to do that one either.
Instead of saying think about, use the word contemplate. Contemplate,
like
according to the thesaurus.
I have changed don't forget to do remember.
Ooh. Go with the positive.
Yeah. I mean, like when that. I say I've worked negative. On that, trying to say, hey, don't. Instead of saying don't forget, do remember to do something.
Instead of saying someone is wrong, say they're erroneous. I've been called that before.
I just like to say, hey, you're jacked up. Come on now.
Craig Way texted me earlier to say I was erroneous in calling Jalen Wilson Jalen Warren because I was thinking fantasy football and the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Jalen Wilson had 38 last night, but I was erroneous. How about instead of saying I'm tired, say I'm fatigued. I'm fatigued. I'm going to start doing that.
I'm damn tired.
Instead of saying it's cold out, say it's frigid. It's frigid.
No.
Yeah, come on. Instead of, I like this one because you can use this a lot. Instead of asking someone, inquire with someone about something. You know what I'm saying? So there you go.
State of Texas, my biggest big pet peeve about the language is, can I get?
May I when get?
It's like may I have or may I have. It's not can I get. What do you mean can you get?
Can I get some of that?
Yeah, no. Can you get slapped across the head? Yeah, you can
sure
get
you
that.
Can.
Sure.
Sure you can. Also, somebody in our area is $1 million richer.
Nice.
Check your pockets. Check your wallet. If you bought a lottery ticket at the Mucho's number 3 on 3201 North Lamar Boulevard, your number, your ticket matched all five numbers for the million. Didn't hit the $416 million Powerball, but you won the mill. So check
and
your numbers.
Mucho's gets a little money for that, too, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
I think they get like a 10% deal on that.
I have to admit, I haven't been up on North Lamar in a while. So that ain't me. And I don't buy lottery tickets, so that really can't be me. Double loss for me. Hey, you Astro fans, I maybe piqued your interest that the World Series trophy will be in town today. Looks like it's going to be stuck down at the Capitol all day. Unless you can get in there and get your picture with it, I don't know. They're going to the House, the Senate, and then they're going to go over to the governor's area.
You're moving around on the inside, huh?
Yeah. Photo ops. I don't think Dusty's coming, though. Where's Dusty Baker when you need him?
No, that dude's on vacation still.
That guy's living it,
it's
man.
Almost springtime.
Finally got
it's
his
almost
championship.
Spring training. That dude is out there.
Managerial World Series. Heck yeah. It's kind of interesting because when I was flipping back and forth from the Longhorns game last night, I was watching Moneyball. Moneyball was on, one of my favorite baseball films with Brad Pitt and company. We'll be back. We'll pick up the conversations on a Wednesday, reset those headlines. Also talking all things NFL divisional play.